entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
A federal magistrate judge in Florida who signed the search warrant to allow the FBI to raid former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. I'm sorry, I said raid. I'm sorry. Had represented several of the convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein's employees in connection to a sex trafficking investigation. Judge Bruce Reinhardt approved the warrant. Reinhardt spent 10 years as a private practice attorney before becoming a magistrate judge in 2018. According to his career history, he previously worked as an assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida. Wouldn't that mean that is he appointed by Trump? I don't know. I have to check that out. 2018 conceivably would be Trump's Justice Department. He can't make this stuff up, of course. There's so many twists and turns. Reinhardt reportedly represented Epstein's pilot, his scheduler, and a woman as well, linked into so-called alleged sex trafficking investigations or alleged sex trafficking investigation thereof. What can you say, folks? What can you say? Are you surprised? Are you not entertained? We'll play. Are you not
entertained? Are you not entertained?
This is not
like are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Maria Albanese on deck for Friday. I know we've talked about this before. I'm not surprised by anything. U.S. housing inventory grows at a record pace as buyers slow down. And we talked about this on Hotwire, but I'll lay this out for you quickly. The number of houses sitting on the market grew at a blistering pace last month. The number of active listings jumping 31% versus the same time period last year. That's a record high increase for a third straight month. The data and the stats are from Realtor.com. People are getting nervous, folks. They're getting nervous, plain and simple. And many of them wanted to catch the wave before the bubble bursted, but they haven't. And so, but of course, Maria will attest to this, that likely inventories are still lower than they were pre-pandemic, pre-scandemic, pre-coronacon. But that's something to examine. But nonetheless, when you see jumps like that, you have to report them. And new homes, of course, are not moving, so perhaps there's a glut. Oh, but make no mistake, it won't be long before the hedge funds, the institutional investors come in and save the day and just scoop them up. Take the pressure off these folks. If these builders and companies, etc., investors are not saved by the feds, anything's possible. Don't forget, we backstop everything. Congress backstops everything, and then they make money on the skim. Billions and trillions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars and trillions of dollars out the window. So what's to prevent them from saving another industry, so-called industry, swooping in and saving the industry with your money? And you are of no benefit from it. You are not a beneficiary of your own tax money being spent lining the pockets of these criminals. Keep an eye on that. This is interesting. Older workers seem to be propping up the economy. We talked about this on Hotwire a little bit. Workers with multiple jobs that the White House is running around saying, oh my God, the numbers are up for jobs. No, they're not. They're not. We shot that down on Hotwire. But the chart of U.S. employment ages 25 to 54 years of age and 55 and older reveals a startling change. There are now 20 million more 55 plus folks my age, 55 plus, employed than there were in 2000. That's an equivalent of an entire workforce comparable to the size of Spain. An increase of 20 million employees age 55 and older is so large that it's actually difficult to kind of fathom. That means that the total employment in the 55 plus range increased by 113% since 2000. And in 2000, only 17.6% of the 55 and older population had a job. Now that percentage is 37.5%. Well, they're not working because they want to. They're working because they have to. They're working because they've retired from one job or left one job and had to go back to work. If the percentage of employed 55 plus had stayed the same as it was in 2000, the total workforce would only be 17 million workers today. Instead, it's 37 million. Well, that just goes to show you that they need the money. It's not that they're bored. You got a 2008, 2009, 2010 financial meltdown. You got a couple recessions. Man, we talked about recessions. Now you have to listen to Hotwire. We laid some heavy shit that's going to be coming at you, not for months or weeks, but for years. So you can be prepared. I implore you to check it out, man. Even if it's just for one take, you just can get in and out. Figure out what we're saying, man. We are fucking spinning gold, Rumpelstiltskin style on there right now, man. It's fantastic. We got one more we're going to do for you tonight. A little Edgar Winter? Turn on your love light? Well, turn on your brain light and get in the know. You said it, buddy. You know, you're going to go back to work at 55 plus if you don't have a nest egg. Or if the government just smoked your nest egg. Like Hunter Biden. With a new batch of crack. A collection of new crack rocks. So we'll keep an eye on that. What we talked about earlier on Hotwire sheds even more light on that. And the shell game that the White House is playing. Story on pain.tv about 87,000 new IRS agents. You can read that. We have discussed that. Norway. Remember, Norway was woke, and we say you want to be woke, you're going to go broke. Well, Norway is planning on possibly limiting electricity, and they certainly limiting exports of their electricity, and they're not going to rule out in the winter rationing for citizens of Norway. That's what happens when you get in bed with the Clinton Foundation, Norway. Not the smartest folks when it comes to the government, all the money they gave the Clinton Foundation. Anyway, folks in Norway, we have listeners in Norway. You better buckle up. Or actually, you better bundle up. It's more like it. Not going to have any electricity for the winter, or it's going to be rationed. That's not good. That story is on pain.tv as well for you folks in Norway. And it seems to be more than a little epidemic happening throughout Europe. It could be coming to a theater near you, whatever country you're in. I was also reading, and I told the Young Bucks to put this story, I'll just mention it briefly, on True Pundit, that carbon dioxide shortage is causing some craft breweries to consider tapping out. They can't get CO2. Of course, you need CO2. Gives a beer its bubbly, foamy appearance and taste. Otherwise, you'd be serving up flat beer. And you need it to transmit the beers through the lines, through the tap lines, the canning lines. There's a shortage that falls into my Green Dragon Tavern theory that the feds will be happy as hell if these craft breweries and these pubs tap out. Like they forbade you from going to these places during the original scandemic, during the original CoronaCon, because it was dangerous. You could transmit the disease. The real reason was they didn't want you drinking and making plans to kick ass. That's how the fucking revolution started. The revolution started in pub houses and taverns Cats had a couple beers and said, fuck these English. We're going to grab some pitchforks and some farm implements and go fuck somebody up. They didn't want that. So I would say that the carbon dioxide shortage might be another government-driven scheme to make sure that not only do the supply chain lines dry up, but the craft breweries and taverns dry up as well. Because if there's a problem, usually the answer to it, the adversaries, etc., the seeds of revolution are often planted and fostered and watered in watering holes. What else we got? Biden is spending hundreds of millions of dollars on staff. Yeah, of your money, by the way. Your money. $100 million in the first 2 years. The highest headcount in history in the White House. And he's still a fucking idiot. And they still shit the bed. I think this is the first time the White House has ever had over 500 employees. Can you believe? There's 560 employees in the White House. Fucking this thing up. 560 in 2021. About 500 now. Actually, it's 474 now. The headcount recently dropped by 86 employees because they're fucking running for the exits. When you hear about what has been going on, when we break our next big story, although you never can tell when the next big story is going to be between that. When we break a big story to come, you understand why 86 folks said, we're getting the hell out of here. But don't worry about your tight budget, folks, and your budgets for food and keeping your lights on, keeping your electricity on, and your bills paid, because everybody's favorite midget in his kid's pajama top, and I'm not talking about Fauci, I'm talking about Zelensky in Ukraine. He just got another $1 billion with a B and more arms that he'll sell out the back door and feather his nest, and probably Biden's too. And plus an additional $4.5 billion with a B for, quote, budget needs, unquote, coming from you. Meanwhile, they give you nothing. They give you 87,000 more IRS agents. And then they control the media, too. You know, the CBS News, they tweeted that only like 30% of U.S. military aid for Ukraine ever reaches the front lines. CBS News. And the White House got on the horn and said, you can't say that. So they deleted. They deleted the tweet. This is how it works, right? You're not allowed to report the truth. And when you do, they ask you to they ask you to take the truth down, please. You're making us look bad. And they actually do. They actually fucking do. It's stunning. I think we kicked a lot of ass on here tonight. I don't know. We're gonna wrap this sucker up, I think. Get ready for tomorrow. We're just rock and rolling this week, man. Fantastic. Shout out to the folks on Pain.tv and the Pain.tv app. Thank you. And the folks on Hotwire, we are keeping it hot. I hope you're taking advantage of it, and I know many of you are, and we appreciate that, and we are humbled by your participation and your patronage on those platforms, as well as the Thomas Paine podcast. You're coming here to listen and learn, and I hope you're doing that. And taking this out into your circles, into your world, and helping spread the word. I want to know where this was when I needed it. I could have used this back in the day. And Revy, R-E-V-V-I, power up your credit with Revy. That's R-E-V-V-I. Revy is the perfect card for the not-so-perfect credit. Revy is a genuine Visa credit card with rewards that is accepted by merchants across the USA and online. Revy card, that's R-E-V-V-I. Revy reports to all three major credit bureaus. Build your credit score with one-time payments and keeping your balance below the credit limit. Pay your bill, view transactions, and check available credit in our new mobile app. Revy, that's R-E-V-V-I again. Credit, rewards, purchase power. It all comes with the Revy card. Perfect credit, not required. Visit discover.com. Revy.com to see how the Revy card can benefit you. Discover.Revy. There's two V's in that. R-E-V-V-I.com. Discover.Revy.com for our quick and easy application process. Discover.Revy.com. That's Discover.Revy.com. See terms and conditions for details and check out Discover.Revy.com. I could have used that back in the day. We could all use a good hand up, etc. And of course, it's tough to buy stuff if you don't have a credit card sometimes, renting a car, etc. So these things come in more than handy. It's a new sponsor, and we're happy to be offering it to you folks. A Revy card. The truth. And if you have somebody that you think this can benefit, and you can share it with them, that would be fantastic as well, because that is how we grow. Plain and simple, word of mouth, old school, that's how we do it. And giving you the straight skinny, that's how we do it as well. We got some more videos coming your way at the end of this, like we talked about before. And what else? What? Wait a minute. Let's finish on a strong note. Born to raise hell. We raised a little hell. On a regular basis. We'll let Motorhead take us out. Special thanks to you folks for helping us grow by word of mouth. That's our bread and butter. So if you know somebody that wants to listen, that could benefit from listening, the more the merrier. We don't we don't have the staff, and we don't have the time, and we don't have the resources for fancy ad campaigns. We're just rocking and rolling. We depend on word of mouth. Seems to be getting the job done. Maria Albanese on Friday. We'll be kicking ass again tomorrow. Plain and simple. It's a fantastic time to be alive, a fantastic time to be in journalism. Sure, there are a lot of challenges, but recognize that you're living in historic times. And sure, things can seem very confusing, but you're here for a reason. You're here to be the sentinels, the guardians, to get your loved ones to the next level, just as folks say in the Great Depression did for you, got you here. Well, now they're calling on you to do the same. Turbulent times indeed, but perhaps ones that we can navigate together. Sense of community, pain.tv, a good place to start. You need community, like-minded people, smart people. Got better chance of getting there together, folks, than we do on our own. Plain and simple. Take care and God bless you.
With an Israeli study that had 2.5 million patients and found that the vaccinated group was actually seven times more likely to get infected with COVID than the people who had gotten COVID naturally.
Senator, I'd have to get back to you on that one. I'm not familiar with that study.
Well, you think you might want to be if you're going to travel the country insulting the millions of Americans, including NBA star Jonathan Isaac, who have had COVID, recovered, look at a study with 2.5 million people and say, well, you know what? It looks like my immunity is as good as a vaccine or not. And in a free country, maybe I ought to be able to make that decision. Instead, you've chosen to travel the country calling people like Jonathan Isaac and others, myself included, flat earthers. We find that very insulting, goes against the science. Are you a doctor or a medical doctor?
I've worked over 30 years on health policy.
You're not a medical doctor. Do you have a science degree? And yet you travel the country calling people flat earthers who have had COVID, looked at studies of millions of people, and made their own personal decision that their immunity they naturally acquired is sufficient. But you presume somehow to tell over 100 million Americans who have survived COVID that we have no right to determine our own medical care. You alone are on high, and you've made these decisions, a lawyer with no scientific background, no medical degree. This is an arrogance coupled with an authoritarianism that is unseemly and un-American. You, sir, are the one ignoring the science. The vast preponderance of scientific studies, dozens and dozens, show robust, long-lasting immunity after COVID infection. Even the CDC does not recommend measles vaccine if you have measles immunity. The same was true for smallpox. But you ignore history and science to shame the flat earthers, as you call them. You should be ashamed of yourself and apologize to the American people for being dishonest about naturally acquired immunity. You want more people to choose vaccination? So do I. You want to lessen vaccine hesitancy? So do I. You want to have that happen? Quit lying to people about naturally acquired immunity. Quit lording it over people, acting as if these people are deplorable and unwashed. Try persuasion instead of government cudgels. Try humility instead of arrogance. Try freedom instead of coercion. But most of all, try understanding that there's no more basic medical right than deciding what we inject into our bodies. Today, after hearing that millions of people in a study show without a doubt that there's a great deal of immunity from getting it naturally, do you want to apologize to the 100 million Americans who suffered through COVID, survived, have immunity, and yet you want to hold them down and vaccinate them? Do you want to apologize for calling those people flat earthers?
Senator, I appreciate your question and appreciate that everyone has their opinion. We follow the facts and the science at HHS. We use the expertise of the medical professionals, the scientists at HHS to make decisions. It's a team effort, and we rely on what is on the ground showing us results.
Except for the dozens and dozens of studies. In fact, most, if not all, of the studies show robust immunity from getting the disease naturally. The CDC says if you've had measles and have immunity, you don't have to be vaccinated. The same was true of smallpox. You're selectively doing this because you want us to submit to your will. You have no scientific background, no scientific degrees, and yet you aren't really concerned about 100 million Americans who had the disease. You just want to tell us, do as you're told. That's what you're telling us. You want to mandate this on all of us. You're going to tell us if I have 100 employees, you're going to put me out of business with a $700,000 fine if I don't obey what you think is the science. Don't you understand that it's presumptuous for you to be in charge of all the science? Have you ever heard of a second opinion? I can't go to my doctor and ask my doctor's opinion. I mean, this is incredibly arrogant combined with this authoritarian nature that you think, well, we'll just tell all of America to do what I say and they better, or we'll fine them or put them in jail or not let them go to school or not let them travel. The science is against you on this. The science is clear. Naturally acquired immunity is as good as a vaccine. The Israel study actually showing it better. This isn't an argument against the vaccine, but it's an argument for letting people make a decision who already have immunity. You're not willing to consider natural immunity?
Senator, our team has reviewed every study that's out there on COVID, whether it's from Israel, from the U.S., or wherever else. They have used the facts that have been provided through the rigorous research that's been done to reach a conclusion. 660,000 Americans and more have died because of COVID. We're trying to do everything we can to save as many as possible. We're using the facts, we're following the science, and following the law.
Nobody's arguing the severity of this, but you are completely ignoring the science on natural immunity. So's Fauci, so's the whole group. You're just ignoring it because you want submission. You want everybody just to submit to your will, do as you're told, despite the evidence, the large body of scientific evidence that says naturally acquired immunity does work, is an important part of how we're all going to recover from this. So is the vaccine. But when you add them together, we're at a much different place than if you ignore them. 100 million Americans, by conservative CDC estimates, have had the disease. 200 million or more now have been vaccinated. It's a good thing. Combined together, it's how the disease is. Nobody wants to get the disease. We're not advising anybody to get the disease. But if you're unlucky enough to get it, think of the nurses and doctors and orderlies who all bravely took care of COVID patients. There was no vaccine for a year and a half. They took care of people, risked their lives. They got it, survived, And now people like you are arrogant enough to say you can no longer work in the hospital because you've already had the disease. We're going to force you to take a vaccine that the science does not prove is better than naturally acquired. That's an arrogance that should be chastened.
Dr. Fauci, the government recommends everybody take a booster over age 5. Are you aware of any studies that show reduction in hospitalization or death for children who take a booster?
Right now, there's not enough data that has been accumulated, Senator Paul, to indicate that that's the case. I believe that the recommendation that was made was based on the assumption that if you look at the morbidity and mortality of children within each of the age groups, you know, 0 to 5, 5 to 11. Right.
So there are no studies, and Americans should all know this. There are no studies on children showing a reduction in hospitalization or death with taking a booster. The only studies that were permitted, the only studies that were presented, were antibody studies. So they say, if we give you a booster, you make antibodies. Now, a lot of scientists would question whether or not that's proof of efficacy of a vaccine. If I give you 10, or if I give a patient 10 mRNA vaccines and they make protein each time, or they make antibody each time, is that proof that we should give 10 boosters, Dr. Fauci?
Tired of feeling like someone's always watching you on the internet? Maybe advertisers know a bit too much about you, or you're concerned about the privacy of your identity? Using incognito mode won't solve the problems either. IPVanish VPN is here to protect your right to privacy and help you stay anonymous online. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet without exposing your private details to third parties such as hackers, your ISP, or advertisers. You can use IPVanish on your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use IPVanish, all of your data is encrypted. This means that your private details, passwords, and communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's really that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their annual plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Folks, that's like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you do is tap one button, and you're instantly protected. You won't even know what's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you watch, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand that's rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/pain and use promotional code PAIN and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/pain. And the pain is P-A-I-N-E for you folks who haven't been paying attention. ipvanish.com/pain. 70%. I mean, I wish we would have known about this earlier today.
No, I think that is somewhat of an absurd exaggeration.
Well, that is the proof that you use. Your committees use that. That's the only proof you have to tell children to take a booster is that they make antibodies. So it's not an absurdity. You're already at like 5 boosters for people. You've had, you know, 2 or 3 boosters. It's like, where is the proof? Now, I think there is probably some indication for older folks that have some risk factors. For younger folks, there's not. But here's the other thing. There are some risk factors for the vaccine. So the risk of myocarditis with a second dose for adolescent boys 12 to 24 is about 80 in a million. This is both from the CDC and from the Israeli study. It's also in the VAERS study, remarkably similar for boys, much higher from boys than girls and much higher than the background. The background's about 2 per million. So there is risk, and there are risks, and you're telling everybody in America just blindly go out there because we made antibodies. So it is not an absurd corollary to say if you have 10. In fact, you probably make antibodies if you get 100 boosters. All right? That's not science. That's conjecture. And we should not be making public policy on it.
So, Senator Paul, if I might respond to that, we just heard in his opening statement, Ranking Member Burr talk about his staff who went to Israel. And if you look at the data from Israel, the boosts, both the third shot boost and the fourth shot boost, was associated with a clear-cut clinical effect, mostly in elderly people, but also as they gathered more data, even in people in the 40s and the 50s. So there is clinical data.
But not in children.
Well,
see, here's the thing is, you're not willing to be honest with the American people. So, for example, 75% of kids have had the disease. Why is the CDC not including this in the data? You can ask the question. You can do laboratory tests to find out who's had it and who hasn't had the disease. What is the incidence of hospitalization and death for children who've been infected with COVID, subsequently going to the hospital or dying? What is the possibility if your kid has had COVID, which is 75% of the country's had COVID, what is the chance that my child's going to the hospital or dying?
If you look at the number of deaths in pediatrics, Senator, you can see that there are more deaths
of people who have had it, of people who have had the disease.
Senator, we also know from other studies that the optimal degree of protection when you get infection is to get vaccinated after infection. And in fact, showing reinfection in the era of Omicron and the sublineages, that vaccination...
But you can't answer the question I asked. The question I ask is how many kids are dying and how many kids are going to the hospital who've already had COVID? The answer may be zero, but you're not even giving us the data because you have so much wanted to protect everybody from all the data because we're not smart enough to look at the data. When you released data earlier, when the CDC released the data, they left out the category of 18 to 49 on whether or not there was a health benefit for adults 18 to 49. Why was it left out? When critics finally complained, it was finally included because there was no health benefit from taking a booster between the 18 to 49 and the CDC study. Another question for you. The NIH continues to refuse to voluntarily divulge the names of scientists who receive royalties and from which companies. Over the period of time from 2010 to 2016, 27,000 royalty payments were paid to 1,800 NIH employees. We know that, not because you told us, but because we forced you to tell us through the Freedom of Information Act. Over $193 million was given to these 1,800 employees. Can you tell me that you have not received a royalty from any entity that you ever oversaw the distribution of money in research grants?
Well, first of all, let's talk about royalty.
That's the question. No, that's the question. Have you ever overseen, have you ever received a royalty payment from a company that you later oversaw money going to that company?
You know, I don't know as a fact, but I doubt it.
Well, here's the thing is, why don't you let us know? Why don't you reveal how much you've gotten and from what entities? The NIH refuses. Look, we ask them. We ask them, the NIH, we ask them whether or not, who got it and how much. They refuse to tell us. They sent it redacted. Here's what I want to know. It's not just about you. Everybody on the vaccine committee, have any of them ever received money from the people who make vaccines? Right. Can you tell me that? Can you tell me if anybody on the vaccine approval committees ever received any money from people who make the vaccines?